I think some of us get to December 26th, the day after Christmas, and we think, was that it? Because in our gut, in our heart, in our soul, and something within us, we know that it's so much more. And we get so caught up in all the clutter and the chaos and the craziness that we miss simply Christmas. Like, we know in our heart that something about it means peace on earth, but it's that, but we know it's so much more than that. We know that somewhere there's this sense of this idea of a celebration of something magnificent, something powerful, and we do the celebration, but the way we do the celebration, some of us, we know in our hearts, it's so much more than that. We know it's about families gathering together and sharing meal and enjoying each other and doing all of that stuff and listening to your crazy uncle or your crazy aunt or whatever that is, and you know in the midst of all of the doing of that stuff, that there's got to be more to it. All this clutter and all this craziness and all this chaos. It's more than this beautiful or greedy gift giving that we do, isn't it? It's more than that. It's more than like this spirit of wonderful gift giving by this bearded man. Not me. The other white bearded man. Right? I mean, we know that. We look at that and we think it's more than that for sure. It's more than a famous birthday. It's more than a religious holiday. It's more than just the fact that people were crazy messy and God needed to come and forgive us in some way. It's more than that. It's more than just love. It's not less than love, but it's more than just that. Christmas, it's God. In all of his otherness, in all of his majesty, in all of his holiness, in all of his, oh my goodness, it's Godness. It's God coming to earth. And it's God coming to earth with hope, the hope that your life and my life doesn't have to stay where it is. It doesn't have to be like stuck in the box. It doesn't have to be stuck in the, I wish there was just more to it. That somehow our lives could be set free. That somehow the God of the universe coming to earth, you know, I know not everybody believes the story. But here's what I guess with most of us. Even if we don't believe the story, we wish it were true. That somehow there was some intervention in God's that from God that would say, I can fix us, humanity. That if I come down, the craziness and the chaos and the clutter of our lives could somehow be given purpose and meaning and maybe hope. I know that there's like a bazillion questions you have all around the trappings. Right, and some people get, let me just read the story. I'll come back to that thought. The questions and the trappings and all the distractions of Christmas, right? All the stuff you sit here and say, but what about this? Or what about this? Or I don't know about that. Or, and maybe in the midst of all of it, it's just like this simply Christmas. It's like about God saying, you matter enough to me to come. From the Gospel of Matthew, it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, semicolon. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, betrothed is a fancy word for engagement, but it's a more ancient word that means something deeper than engagement. It was a legal arrangement, but without all of the other stuff, you know. Right? It was a legal agreement between a couple that says, we will get married. Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means, by the way. The one who saves from sin. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which translated means this, God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's how it happened. This amazing story of God's love coming down to earth into a crazy place. My family had a dog. He was a little white Bichon. His name was Lumiere, which is French for light. For those of you who don't know, my last name is Knight, so Lumiere was our night light. I thought of that. Right? And so we had this little night light called Lumiere, this little white Bichon. Right? And Lumiere was a brilliant dog, except like many of us, right? Lumiere, when you would point at something, you'd say, look, Lumiere, look, look. You know what he'd do? He would look at the finger. No, over there, Lumiere. And he'd look at the finger. No, no, look at that, Lumiere. Look, look what has happened. And he'd look at your finger. Right? That's the way a lot of us do Christmas. We have God saying, look at the baby in the manger. And we're all caught up in all the other stuff. We're all caught up in the lights and the food and all this stuff. And what God is saying, look, look, look at the baby in the manger. And God is saying, look. And what he wants us to do, he wants us to see. Not just see, but to see. He wants us to know, but not just know, but to know that there's something that has happened. And the question is, what is it? Like when you point and you say, look, and people are caught up in all the questions, all the arguments, all the stuff, all the lights, all the family, all the gift giving, all the pressure of being at the right place at the right time when you're supposed to be there. And if you're a young couple, you got to be at two people's houses or three people's houses or four. Ah! And God said, look. Look. I was working with our confirmation kids about this whole idea that God has come to earth. And we turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Let me read it for you. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. Listen to this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so I started to walk through this passage with the kids. The first thing it says, in the beginning was the Word. Whatever this Word is, whatever this Word was, that whenever the beginning began, whenever they began to figure out when history began, whenever they began to sort out when humanity began to keep track of when the beginning was, God was there. And so was the Word. The Word was already present in the beginning. And then it says, and the Word was with God. Oh my goodness. This word that we're talking about was there in the beginning, there with God. Whoever this Word is, he was there in the beginning with God. And then it says this. This is like amazing, you guys. And the Word was God. Boom. Mic drop. Like whoever this Word is, he was there whenever the beginning began. And he was with God, and he is God. And that's it, the Word made everything. That whoever this Word is, that everything that's been created, whenever it said in Genesis, and God spoke, it happened. That was the Word. In him was life, and a light that shines in such a way that the darkness cannot put it out, cannot extinguish it. Cannot overcome it. A light that always causes darkness to flee. You notice that, right? Whenever you light a light, darkness flees. It runs. It runs in terror because of the power of light. And this passage is saying whoever this Word is light. And darkness flees. Who is the Word? In the same chapter of the Gospel of John, it says this, and the Word became flesh. And made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, look, it's the baby in the manger. The Word is Jesus Christ. The same one who, when he grew up, stunned people by his love and affections towards people who were outcasts and broken. People were messed up that Jesus somehow had this affection for them, this love for them, this compassion for them. It was, blew them away. And they're saying, this same Jesus is the one who grew up, and when he commanded the waves and winds to be quiet, they stopped. This same Jesus, the one who spoke in such a way that it penetrated people's hearts and their lives became changed and powerful and full of God's love. That same Jesus, the one who was crucified, dead and buried, and the third day he rose again from the grave. That same Jesus is God. Come to earth because you matter to him. And we get all caught up. Look, and we're looking at the fingers of Christmas, the things that are meant to point to Jesus, and we're just looking at the stuff. We're looking at the lights, which are beautiful. I love that. We're looking at the gifts, which are beautiful. I have my sizes available after service if you want them. We look at all of this stuff and we miss Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem. The one born in the manger, laid in the manger. The one who the Bible says, Emmanuel. Think of this for a second, you guys. Think of this. Emmanuel. I know about all your questions, right? Whatever they are. Emmanuel, God with us. That you matter enough. That God says, with whatever you're bringing to the manger, I'll come and live there with you. I love you that much. And I look at that and say, what would motivate God to do this? To come and lie in a manger. What would motivate that? Well, I think about it, maybe it's because babies are approachable. And God wants to know that even though you think you don't belong, he's approachable to you. I have a friend, he's a pastor, his name is Rick Lindholson, he's a pastor in California, and he wrote this the other day. He said, a manger, in the French, manger means to eat. It means to eat. We have given the name to a box or a trough from which animals eat. We call it a manger. That's its only purpose. It's entirely inappropriate for an infant to be placed in a manger. Even the shepherds who received an angelic announcement of the birth of Christ knew this. The entire unpredictable circumstance of a baby lying in a manger prompted them to respond, I gotta go look at this. Beyond its rough and scratchy character, a manger is basically unclean. There's years and years of accumulated filth and animal drool, yet it's the place that God the Father had planned for the first dwelling of his Son. A manger filled with drool and animal waste. But here's the deal. This manger was not the ultimate home for Jesus. This isn't where he wanted to reside. There's another manger, if you will, where he really would love to reside. It's your heart. It's in your life. That God's ultimate desire is to come in and take this space and make it like a manger. And I know some of us would say, well, it's filthy here. There's years and years of accumulated filth in my heart and in my life. There's years and years of animal drool and junk here. And God will say that I want to come and take up residence there. And we would say back to him, I'm not fit for that. I'm too messy. I'm too dirty. You have no idea of the accumulated filth in my life. And God would say, yes, I do. Listen to this. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to them which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. See, I get it. We get these mixed messages so often. We hear things like we're all sinners and we're dirty and we're not, and that's true, we're not worthy, but that's not the same as being worth something. Our unworthiness or our feeling like we're messy and crazy, filthy, and years and years of accumulated garbage in us, that's not the same as God saying, even still, I think you're worth it. I think you matter. See, God declares our worth by coming to us. He loves us so much. I don't know if you've seen the movie The Star. Have you seen that, the animated film about the nativity scene? I love the movie, right? In the movie, there's this little donkey. His name is Bo. Boaz is his real name. We call him Bo for short. And he and his father are stuck to a mill. They have big beams coming across their head and down by their neck, and they have ropes around them, and they trudge day in and day out in this circle around the beam, around the mill, grinding grain day in and day out. And every once in a while, the young Bo is trying to glance out the windows because he says this: I am meant for more than this. I am meant for more than this. He's going around and around and around and around, just like the way some of us live life. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we eat lunch, we come home from work, we eat supper, we go to something else, we work day in and day out, day in and day out, and something in us is saying, I'm meant more for more than this. This can't be my destiny. And Bo walks around and he's trying to get away. And his dad, his old donkey dad, says, this is what it is, son. This is just keep going. Just keep walking. And Bo's saying no. And then finally he gets set free and he realizes, yes, yes, it's this encounter of my amazing worth with the Son of God that I am meant for more than this. So are you. This manger called your heart, I know, I get it, full of accumulated filth and garbage and junk and maybe just indifference. But in your gut, you know, I'm meant for more. And God is saying, yes, you are. I think of the teenager, a little bit like me growing up, maybe sitting in the basement, listening to his folks upstairs yelling. Maybe a family fight going on, the little kids sitting there, the teens sitting there. Is this it? Is this the story of my life? But in his heart, he knows it's got to be more. I think of this little girl that Bonnie and I sponsor in Ethiopia. My wife Bonnie and I, we sponsor her through Compassion International. And she's like 18 now. And I'm praying that her parents, her mother, lets her stay in school long enough before she marries her off to ease the pressure of bills, which happens to these little girls all the time. And I'm thinking, like she's meant for more than just being that. There's something in her that is special and beautiful. And I think she's meant for something. I think of the young couples that are trying another Christmas. We got to make it through so the family doesn't like get in the midst of us. And we'll just hang on one more Christmas at least. We'll try to get through. We'll try to get through. And they're fighting to save their marriage. And they know instinctively that there's got to be more. What if God really could move in and change things? The man and the woman who day after day after day after day, like Bo, going to work every day on the treadmill. And you think, what if there really is a God who would take up residence in us even though we don't feel worthy? What if Christmas was more than all of the stuff you're looking at? And it really was about God forgiving and loving and gracing you and transforming you. I love the song that we just sang, O Holy Night. It's written in 1847 by a poet who was assigned by the local priest to write a poem for Christmas Eve. The poet hired a Jewish man to compose the song, the music behind it. You know it, O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. I've sung that for years. I have no idea what that means. Error pining? I looked it up. You know what it means? Error, long in sin and error pining. You know what it means? It means stuck. It means long in sin and stuck. Trapped. Like with a rope around you in the grind. Day in and day out. Till he appeared, it says, and the soul felt its worth. That your soul, something in you says, I am meant for more than this. You sense that the God of the universe thinks you are worth it. And you are. Till the soul felt its worth. That you are worth more than silver or gold. That you are worth more than the security of heaven. That God would be willing to come down to be our Savior and Lord. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine. the night when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night. Oh, night divine. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That the darkness of our crazy lives, our chaotic lives, our cluttered lives, that if God would light a light in us, darkness would begin to flee. Imagine what that would be like. To be this place, not where just they lay Jesus, but where he reigns. This second manger for him. You know, we take the candle and we go over to this Advent wreath and we take the light from the center, which represents the light of Christ. And you'll see it in a moment that when the room goes dark, you'll see darkness fleeing. It's like a picture of what could happen to us if we would allow Jesus to come in, that gradually the light of his love and life would begin to clean up the manger of our heart, begin to unclutter, uncrazy, unchaos our lives. And we could have God with us, Emmanuel.